In the meantime, we can welcome Athena Eastwood to the board.
Yay!
So Jay Pun was our food and beverage person representing the county, and his personal life was such that he wanted to step away, and so he opened up a spot, and Athena has joined us. Athena, do you want to tell us a little bit about who you are?
Sure. So I started Eastwood Farm and Winery with my daughters. We're in Charlottesville, right kind of off of Avon, where Avon and 20 meet in the county. And in addition to that, I'm a commodities lawyer. So I worked in the commodity trading space for the last 20-something years, and I went to UVA Law School.
Go Hoos.
Go Hoos. Okay. Welcome, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Thank
you. Hi, all right. Very good.
Francois
Abadie. Russ Cromer. Here. Chris Engel. Here. Do you want me to call Athena since she's here? Or mark her as here, but she doesn't actually start until...
She starts now.
Okay.
Olivia doesn't start until the new year.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Andrea Copeland. Emily Kilroy.
Here.
Dee Lepisto-Curley.
Here.
Jennifer Lyons. Jit Palakawongs, Danny Shea, Amber Smith,
here,
Brad Yule,
here,
Juan Diego Wade,
here,
Darcy Wiegand,
here,
and John Worth,
here.
Okay, thank you very much, and I'd want to make a special hello to Chris Engel and his mustache.
Is that written on your face?
I know what
that is. That
was in a minute.
Okay, so next
issue.
All right.
Yeah,
all right.
Okay, well, we have our industry presentation. Philip Reese, Unlocked History Escape Rooms. Oh, well, that sounds interesting.
Yeah.
I think I'll stand up here so no one can hear their neck.
Perfect. Thanks.
Yep. Well, it's about time. No, I was late. That's why I said that.
Like, what is it?
Yeah.
All right. So my name is Phil Reese. I'm the owner of Unlocked History Escape Rooms. You can go to the next slide. So. Who in here has done an escape room? Okay, so a good number of you. So, who in here has done an escape room at my business? It's still pretty good. So, I started in 2018 with a Thomas Jefferson themed escape room. It's called the British Are Coming. So I've been working for the DIA, Defense Intelligence Agency, up on Ravana Station since we moved here in 2017. So I started this business as sort of a part-time side business, and just last year I went full-time, so it's finally big enough. We're expanding, which I'll go into in a little bit. It's finally big enough where we're getting enough income where my wife and I can survive on it. But yeah, we started in 2018. We now have 4 different escape rooms, and we are expanding to eventually have 7. So now I have now 2 spaces that I leased the space last year, and we just opened our newest escape room. It's a Leonardo da Vinci-themed escape room. About 3 weeks ago. So, as you can tell by the name, come on in. As you can tell by the name, all of our themes use like a historical element. So when I was starting my business, knew I was moving to Charlottesville. I know a lot of Charlottesville gets a lot of historical tourists. So, and I knew I wanted a Thomas Jefferson themed escape room. So, so I just decided to use history as sort of the basis for all my themes. And we use both local history, American history. The Da Vinci one is obviously European history, but we also have an Edgar Allan Poe themed escape room that you've done. So that's set in Edgar Allan Poe's dormitory room at UVA, and we use a bunch of his, like 5 of his stories for that escape room. We have a World War II spy escape room. That's number 3, and I already mentioned number 4 is Da Vinci's discovery. So what we are a big tourism business. We rely on obviously both tourists and the local population, but we do quite well with tourists. you know, one of the things that's unique about escape rooms is it is something fun that whether you're a grandparent, you know, just a parent or a child, you can all have fun with each other. So there's not a lot of activities, I would, you know, think around Charlottesville where it is just as much fun for an 8-year-old as it is for a 75-year-old grandfather or grandmother. One of the other unique things is I think we fill a gap in Charlottesville for nighttime tourism. So especially on the history side, there's a lot of things to do during the day. You go up to see Monticello during the day. Maybe you go see Mickey Tavern for lunch. And, you know, I know this board, we want to have overnight revenue at hotels. And something like the escape rooms can give people something to do at night. So it sort of can help encourage them to stay at a hotel overnight, which brings in revenue for the county and the city. Next slide. So this is just a look at some of the escape rooms. This is the lobby. This is a little bit from our the British Are Coming escape rooms. British Are Coming escape room. This is the Raven. This is the second one we built. You don't get to see much of the World War II spy escape room, but that one actually starts in the hallway, so we try to make it look a little bit like a Parisian street, and you got to break into like a safe house, and eventually you have to sabotage Nazi headquarters right before D-Day in Paris. And this is the newest one that we just opened a couple weeks ago. So it's set in 1502 in Florence. So this is Leonardo da Vinci's workshop, and you can see a number of his works of art and some of his inventions there. So it's, you know, escape rooms are something fun where it gets kids and adults off their tablets, off screens, and really working with their hands. So, you know, I'm really proud that we have a 5.0 rating on Google with over 800 reviews. So we really work hard for that. Next slide. I'll just kind of share some of the things that how CACVB has been very helpful to my business. I am a participant in the Tourism for All, the current cohort that's going through right now. I just recently increased spending on visitcharlottesville.org, so that's obviously the major website that that you guys run. We run about 4 or 5 digital ads through that. I'm a member of the Charlottesville chapter of the VA 250 Commission. If you have any questions about that, you guys probably know about it, but it is essentially how the Charlottesville is going to celebrate the 250th anniversary, country's anniversary here in Charlottesville, Albemarle County. Brantley and some of the other team has helped me help my business get a lot of media attention, so it really helped me get on with CBS 19, and they've run about 4 or 5 stories on us over the past year, 14, 15 months. Daily Progress has done an article that was stemmed from your team doing an Instagram story on the Raven escape room right before Halloween, and they saw that and they decided to do a Halloween story on the Raven escape room. So they've been very helpful with me on that and my business. And also, you know, the Virginia Tourism Corporation, they do a number of marketing grants. And that's how I first heard about micro-business marketing leverage grant. Does that sound right?
Well done, yeah.
so we get about, you know, I've gotten that grant 2 years in a row. It's $5,000, so I have to put up $5,000, and Virginia Tourism Corporation sort of matches that. So that has really helped our marketing spend. And just the last one, they also, I think it was a requirement, but they had to kind of give like a letter of support. So Carla did that for my business this past year. And just the last slide, this is, you know, this is what I just kind of see as some potential opportunities or some of the things that I'm going to be working for, or I see improvements for my business to try to get more revenue, try to get more people, and certainly more tourists. I didn't know Roy was going to be here today, but I've been challenged with rat cards. You know, I see the development. Rat cards was very important to my business, but we're seeing in all, a lot of the hotels are just taking rat cards away from the lobby. So I think it is hard for many of our tourists to find out about a lot of local attractions. I know there is a brochure that is available, but it's not the same as having a business having a rat card. So that's something I've been having to try to overcome, and frankly, I've been putting more money in digital advertising. The visitcharlottesville.org, I think it's a good website. If I were king for a day, I think if you look on the website and you look for things to do, they're all ordered by alphabetical. And I really do think there could be an improvement to try to focus on what are the top things to do in Charlottesville. Monticello should be number one. It should be very easy to find Monticello and the things to do. And, you know, the UVA grounds would be number two, and Boar's Head would be right up there as well. But, you know, if, granted, I'm biased, my business name starts with a U, so we are at the very bottom. But I don't necessarily think it, I think it, there's a lot of ways to do it, whether it's popularity or reviews or something like that. So it's more useful to the tourists who are visiting that website. So I don't have the exact solution, but I do think there could be some improvement there. And this is really for me, but certainly if CACVB was willing to try to improve this. I know, I'll start with this one, the corporate retreats. I know this is in CACVB's master plan over the next number of years. We get a lot of corporate team building groups. A lot of them come from Northern Virginia, and they're doing like an offsite here in Charlottesville. They're staying at a hotel, and they're looking for, you know, a team building activity to do. And we certainly fit that mold. So we do get a lot of business there, but I think that can increase by, for us, 500-600% over the next year or two. So I'm working on that to try to improve that. But it could be something that CACVB could look into to see how they can really facilitate that, make it, you know, one idea I had was make it very easy on the visitcharlottesville.org website where you can see all the conference rooms so that these corporate groups can kind of know with these hotels how much conference room, how many people can they accommodate, so forth. And then, you know, I'm always looking for some partnerships. I know I'm like more of a small player in town compared to some of the other attractions, but, you know, I see some of the other cities where they'll have like a history package tour or something like that. Some way where it can be a win-win for another attraction, and you know, but it can also bring in more revenue for us. So thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it. Happy to answer any questions if you have any. But again, I appreciate the opportunity, Courtney.
Yeah,
go ahead.
As far as the business directory, you said that you probably have some maybe ideas. Since you begin with you, what would be some other categories that you would suggest on the website to kind of help folks find out like where most people are going versus it being alphabetical?
Well, I think the categories are good. There's like family fun. We're on family fun and history and something.
We talked about this morning because we saw your slides and we're thinking about things ahead of time and thought we have enough escape rooms that we could do an escape room drop down too. So there are a number of different ways that we can categorize things to make it easier for folks to find you.
And my main opposition is not the category. Of course I would love an escape room category. It's just you go on TripAdvisor or you go to Virginia.org or something like that, and they're kind of categories most on popularity first. Because you really, I think the city and the county want to highlight what are the big draws. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of, you know, there's some listings that are really not as much tourism, and they should be lower on the list. And so whether it's some algorithm or something that can figure that out, I think there's a way to do that. But I don't have a huge opposition with the categories.
Yeah. I think a lot of our visitors are finding content through blog posts, and that is a way of telling that story in a different way. I think, you know, balancing popularity versus equal opportunity is something that, you know, we at the CACVB think a lot about, and I think that was one pushback idea that we had to the recommendation, but certainly something that we can continue to think about.
I have a question. Why are the hotels taking out the rack cards?
It's a brand standard that the hotels are, and Russ, correct me if I'm wrong, but folks, a lot of the brand hotels don't want to have a cluttered desktop, and so they're hiding more of those things, and they'll put them behind the front desk. So it's something that could be there, but has to be requested.
Oh, okay.
I have one other question.
Mm-hmm.
What would be your ideal partnership based off tourism, since you had mentioned that. Like, what would be your ideal weekend that includes you?
My ideal one, but I also understand I'm much smaller than Monticello. But, you know, I could see a really good package with, like, Monticello day pass or, you know, museum pass or whatever they call it, lunch at Mickey Tavern, and then in the evening an escape room at a historical escape room. So that's, like, shooting as high as I could, because I know we're much smaller than those two other attractions, but something like that. There could also be, you know, some, like a local restaurant where someone does an escape room, then they get a deal at a restaurant or something like that. So that would be more on me, but I think there's some opportunity there. I just have not been able to crack that nut.
I was going to ask what your price point was and how it compares with, like, family night bowling or movies or things like that.
So we're a bit more expensive. We're $33 a person for 1 hour. So it is definitely sort of, you know, we see our normal clientele is about middle class and up. $33 per hour per person, which is about the industry average across the country for escape rooms.
It takes about an hour to do it.
Yes.
The business directory thing, would a map be useful? And just put the members that are in the business directory on a map? Would that be something that a tourist would use?
Like a physical map?
No, on the website.
On the website? We had talked about that when we were doing the website initially. We have hundreds of businesses that we feature on the website, so you could never have a map that showed all of the tourism-related businesses because you wouldn't be able to read it. So you'd have to have different categories. So
I mean, under each one of the categories.
Yeah, possibly. It's possible. I think, you know, I think it's something that a lot of destination websites struggle with, a really clear way to do that. There are other DMOs that are membership-based, and the members who pay more get featured higher, right? And that's how that problem is solved. We don't have reviews and things on our website because of... there's a lot that goes into why we don't, but TripAdvisor is a much more sophisticated website from that perspective.
I was really wondering what a map solved his problem.
I was going to say, it sounds like a lot of upkeep.
Yeah.
With keeping up, because sometimes we have a lot of turnover as it relates to businesses that have a good model, they sign up for all the things, and they might close after 1 or 2 years, and we might not hear about it. That either requires a delegated person or something else to keep up with that. Unless we want to go with the AI version of all of that, which that also costs money, too.
Yeah. Am I missing anything, Brantley?
I don't think so. No.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And how many people are in the escape room?
So in one escape room, we can take up to 9 or 10. Okay. Right now, we can accommodate up to 33 people per hour across 4 escape rooms.
Okay.
So that's...
But the average is 9 or 10?
Sorry, the average is probably like 5 to 6
okay.
in each escape room.
Okay, yeah. And do you have them where it's like adult only?
We don't. We,
okay.
I mean...
Not thinking that, you know, I'm just thinking
that... Well, we do have it's private bookings, so if you're just coming with some adults, it's only your group. You're not mixed with strangers.
Okay, that's what okay, thank you.
And it's super fun.
Pardon?
It's super friendly, like kid friendly.
Yeah, I don't want to get too friendly.
Yeah, no. It's super kid friendly. Like, I really enjoyed the Raven one. Like, I really, really enjoyed that.
And we took five kids who were little, who were not succeeding, and his staff was very friendly in helping them try to succeed.
We had all adults, and it was so hard at one point. No, it's good. It's good.
It's a challenge to find the right difficulty for 10-year-olds and then 20-somethings who do, you know, have done 100 escape rooms before. So that takes a lot of work to try to find that right challenge, that difficulty level.
And are they all located in one building or just?
We're over behind Siebel Coffee in McIntyre Plaza.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. You ever think of a wine escape room?
I have.
Drunkenness might not help with the clues.
Oh.
I have, yeah.
But they'd be there longer and they'd have to pay another $33.
You can't open the door, you can't leave.
That means you'll never get out of the room, but I like that.
Yeah, it's a little tricky because alcohol I mean, we get a lot of people who go to vineyards and then they'll come afterwards. And they just tend to be a little bit more rough with props. Mm-hmm. So there is some more like upkeep and maintenance with that clientele. But you know, if people come from the vineyard, like we're not stopping them unless they're drunk. You know, then we'll give them a refund or something like that.
Okay. Any other questions?
I do.
Philip. Yes.
For the corporate retreats from D.C., have you looked at like how many possible corporate retreats that come through D.C., or would they be based in D.C.? Because I know, I think the business school has students in that particular area. Like, how would you see that working into your overall model?
Well,
and how would you advertise to them?
So I am working on advertising. I'm developing that over the next 3 months. So I'm looking in LinkedIn, perhaps, and doing it that way. I don't know if it would make sense to actually market towards Northern Virginia, just because there's so many.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You're probably not, you know, you're going to get one out of maybe 1,000 or probably even less than that. So I'm figuring out how to market to them. I don't know how big... how many companies from Northern Virginia come down here and do offsites. But I just know from my own numbers, we are definitely seeing an increase over the years. So, again, I don't know how big the market is, but I definitely see it growing. Because it's close enough to Northern Virginia where they can just do an offsite, mm-hmm. and then they don't have to stay at a hotel, perhaps. Maybe they do want to stay at a hotel, but it's like the perfect location from D.C.
Okay. Yeah, I'm done. I'm sorry.
That's good.
I like escape rooms.
Yeah.
Thanks, Beth.
Well, thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you very much. Okay, next we have our consent agenda. Approval of the previous meeting minutes. Any corrections, additions, deletions? Do I have a motion to approve?
So move.
Second? Okay. All in favor? Oh, do we have to call a roll?
We don't have
to. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Okay, that's passed. Next we have financial statement. And any questions on that? Oh, okay. Do I have a motion to approve the financial statement? Okay. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Okay. Thank you very much. Okay, director's report.
All right.
All right, Courtney.
Can you all hear and see me seated down all right? Okay, very good.
No, I'm sorry, I can't.
Listen up! All right, we had a very busy November. We welcomed Virginia Tourism Corporation. We'll have some slides on that in a bit. We had a Tourism for All tour guide training, which is this photo here. Proud to say that our mayor is ready to rock and roll. Taking out a group of...
Second and third grade is tomorrow again. We're meeting at the free speech wall at 11:15.
Go to an escape room.
We had the VA1 in middle of November, which is our state's tourism conference. I attended the joint meeting of the Airport Authority and the Airport Commission to learn about what things are happening with Charlottesville Airport. Didn't learn a ton at that meeting, but got a little bit of a sense of where they're headed, and have the notes from that if anybody's curious. And then gave a presentation on LGBT marketing at the Richmond VRS, PRSA.
May I cut in? Just yes. Regarding the airport, what I've heard is that they need to increase, they need to move the main building, and they're thinking of moving the main building into the parking lot below so that they can, because you can only let in certain size planes. If they're too close to the building, then they can't land. So they're actually talking about moving the terminal into the parking lot so that, I guess, larger planes could then land. That's what an idea is. Whether or not that comes to fruition, what do you think, Emily? No? Mm-hmm.
Well, I think the commission is going to tell us what.
Yes, yeah. I mean, that's what I heard from speaking of
somebody. Oh, we have somebody
that,
so. In the.
I am on the commission.
Yes. Oh, there you go.
So would that increase the size of the aircraft they're able to
I think
in?
So, right?
Well, that's the happens. Problem is the airport was designed for propeller planes.
Right.
And the size of the planes coming in now are they have to be pushed back, and they're pushed back into the taxiway. So, you know, it's just a safety issue with the FAA, so how to accomplish that without disrupting everything, it's just a function of money and space.
Right.
Because we have some geographic limitations. We can't move the runway, you know, and you can't shut the runway to the airport down for 2 years to put building in. So. But it's probably about a $200 million project.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is Charlottesville going to pay for that? Just
it's on the list. They don't know it yet.
Oh, let's not tell them.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. We will have our Tourism for All conference on February 11th. I hope that you will either attend or send your teams. There's the Chamber of Commerce's State of the Community coming up on February 21st. Our board meeting in the new year will be February 24th. It will be here. Olivia Branch is in the audience. We'll be joining our board. And that is just as a reminder for folks, I present the budget at that meeting. We also we set the meeting schedule and determine a chair and vice chair at that meeting. So if the meeting schedule is not working for you, then let us know. I know that this meeting in particular gets moved up a week because we're usually the fourth Monday, which is why our mayor will have to leave early, because it's the wrong week for city council meetings. So let us know, or let me know specifically if you have any concerns moving into the new year so we can try and troubleshoot for that. And then we will be posting an RFP for rebranding and a PR agency. And hopefully we will have that up in the next couple of weeks. Jen Lyon, who isn't able to be here today, but is on our board and is the marketing director for Monticello, reviewed that to determine that she approved of our scope of work and the RFP in general. So I was glad to have her input on that. Cool. Occupancy rates were at an all-time high for October, which was great news. November's a little bit softer, I would assume, but we haven't really seen those numbers come through yet. Our average daily rate was at an all-time high, at least I think it's safe to say ever, which meant that our revenue per available room was high as well. So what I'm seeing is more seasonality. I don't think this is necessarily, everything's great and it will continue to be peachy keen through the winter time. It's just that we're seeing more people wanting to come during our peak times and then it dipping when it's not the usual visitor season. So that's what we're anticipating going into winter. Does anyone else have any thoughts about winter visitation that they want to share or anything that's been going on? No?
How's the winter visitation in the wandering world?
It's pacing a little down to previous years. I think we're trying to talk through like what that is and why that is. I think the week less between Thanksgiving and has really compressed a lot of people's family schedule. Like lots of things have just been compressed, and so whether that's leaving them a week less to do things or they forgot or just lots of stuff. But generally it's good. I mean, this past weekend I think we had maybe 5,000 people out between Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and the hotel was sold out. And I mean, so you wouldn't know, but then tonight we'll do 500 people. So, I mean, it's a little bit up and down. But generally, it's still very good.
Cool. All right, marketing and PR. We had a number of different things going on. Sabrina joined our team. She's in the back. She's our new content manager. We're excited to have her. Amanda came back today from maternity leave, so we're excited to have our marketing team back and ready to rock and roll. So thank you guys. We finalized a contract for search engine marketing. We launched a new accessible travel landing page. We were named the top adventure town for a mid-sized destination by Blue Ridge Outdoors. We were the runner-up, and we were robbed by the local palette. I am not happy about it. we're very, very honored to be a finalist. We definitely won on social media. Yeah. I don't care what anybody has to say.
So
we,
who won?
Who did win?
Lafayette, Louisiana.
Oh my God! My family lives down there. It's Moolahs. That's it. It's Moolahs.
We were robbed. We also received free access to Arrivalist data. Arrivalist data is a lot like Zartico, and Zartico was an expensive experiment. Arrivalist is not currently an expensive experiment, so we're going to look at that data and see how it's working. Virginia Tourism has an agreement with Arrivalist that lets many of us see our own county and city data. And I can pull it by city and by county and together, which is great. All we have to do is say that we've put $5,000 of advertising into the market. So that is easy to do. So I'll let you all know how that looks. Right now, the data is just helpful to kind of gut check what we think is happening, but I wouldn't rely on it fully, just like Zartico. That's the majority of this page. We've had some really strong social media content. Thanks to Sabrina coming on board. The Magic on the Mall one did very, very well. I'm not sure that we ended up with 526 shares. It may have been more.
Oh, it's more, yeah.
Yeah. But we heard from friends of Charlottesville downtown who were very, very pleased. I'm sorry, can you not see past me? And then the top 10 reasons to visit Charlottesville, Virginia in the winter also did pretty well, and that had a broader focus than just the downtown. We've posted a lot of different content highlights covering all sorts of things leading into the winter. As you'll remember, we'll do a big push towards winter since that's our slowest time of year. We were lucky enough to be featured in Brantley worked really hard to get us featured in the USA Today's Go Escape Winter 2024 edition. It's a beautiful spread. Copies of it are out on the table in case you all want to read it on your way out. But this featured 25 different partners of ours, which is phenomenal. I'm really excited about that. And then we had a lot of other coverage as well. It's been a very busy time. I think a lot of these were kind of simmering from the spring into the summer,
for a long time.
And then finally hit market, which was exciting. Any questions about marketing and PR? All right. Heading into sales, Teresa's also been really busy. We have had a lot of different site visits and other things going on. One of the most interesting ones was we had a tour company from Holland kind of just show up at our door one day, and they're like, "We're bringing people here. What can you do for us?" And we're like, "When?" They're like, "Oh, it was 2 days or something." It was very, very quick, and so we were able to help them very quickly, which was great. I don't have a slide representing this here, but we are continuing to find some data sources to help us study midweek business. We are looking at putting out an RFP for short-term rental data because we can't just go with a single solution. It's too expensive. It needs to be competed. We are working on a relationship with Cvent, and Cvent is the premier solution for working with meeting planners specifically that will help us figure out what's coming into the market and what's booking, which will be really helpful, and also allows us to make connections between our lodging properties and what we see, and that's in that database. So more to come in the new year on sales for sure. All right, visitor services. Our mobile visitor center is also at almost a high in October, very close to a high from 2021. I think that there are slightly fewer people here, so I think this is probably pretty accurate of a percentage of the visitors in market. But they have just, we've just shut our mobile visitor centers down for the season. We do welcome visitors into the space in the meantime. And we have packets at the county office building as well as the Historical Society. We have had, our current visitation is up 14% over last calendar year, which is great, and exceeding our goal, which is good. So, and I, we were at the Grand Illumination and the Boar's Head Winter Wander. Cassie, do you want to say anything about either of those events?
Sure. So we have wrapped up everything we will do with the Mobile Visitor Center regular visitation and special events. So we were at Winter Wander on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Kevin McDowell helped arrange that. We've been doing that for 3 years now. We are set up inside the tent where people can purchase alcohol, so that works really well for us. but we go and we hand out visitor information. We provide some pretty goodies. We had great reach on at least at least Friday and Saturday. I think that's our time team. Thursday was a little slow, but we always provide things like glow sticks for the kids, and we were out very quickly. And then Grand Illumination, other than it being like 19 degrees, was really good as well. And I realize that is maybe a larger community draw, but we did talk to a lot of visitors that had kind of wandered over to know what this was, and they were very excited that it was free. And that there were a lot of opportunities to engage with their kids, particularly around the Disney songs that were being sang. So, I think Moana was there. This was a good time. Great success.
Awesome, thanks. We have also done a great amount of distribution of materials, and we are working on reprinting, updating a light update of the visitor guide and a reprint in the next couple of months. Here is a little bit more about Virginia Welcome Center FAM tour. It turned out about half of the people who are working in Virginia Welcome Centers are new in the past year, I think. So I had hosted them in Bristol when I was there 6 years ago. And recognized very few people. So it was a really great opportunity to educate a group of folks who had reached out and wanted to be educated about our area, but also get them up to speed because they're from all over the Commonwealth and probably don't know a whole lot about our area. And this is a nice little shout out to two of our partners who are board members. So thank you for hosting them, Athena. They had a really wonderful time, and our team did a really fantastic job of meeting those folks where they were, understanding what their needs were, and anticipating their questions and preparing our partners for those interactions. So a massive shout out to my team. All right. Looks familiar. Sorry. It's over quickly. We've been working towards doing some more promotion around our accessibility efforts that we launched with Will the World a couple of years ago. I'll have a picture there in a minute, but we won a Travelability Superstar Award. I think there were four that were given out at the Travelability Conference, and we came home with one of them, so it was really exciting that we were making a lot of good progress there, and a lot of that had to do with the landing page that's on our website, which was an entire team effort and a whole lot of work that a lot of people put in, so I thank my team for that. Phil talked a little bit about the 250th. We continue to have those conversations locally. We have gone after a grant from Virginia Tourism for that effort specifically. There isn't any money around the 250th, so the CACVB said that we'd put in $10,000 to match a $10,000 grant, hopefully, from Virginia Tourism, so that $20,000 will be it for the community budget around that, unless there is other activity that happens. I feel pretty confident we will get a decent amount of the way there if we don't get our grant fully funded. Our outdoor rec group has been very busy and very pleased with the Top Adventure Town recognition, and we've already mentioned Tourism for All, so I will move on from that. As Phil said, we provide a lot of letters of support for our partners. That comes along with a lot of conversations on ways that we think that we can provide research or suggestions to help make those grants successful. And our partners' success in getting grants is something that we take as a measurement of our success. So we really want them to be able to get those and be successful. We also have been at a number of different local events in the past couple of months. Carla went to the Virginia Wineries Association conference that was held here, learned a whole lot more about our wine industry here. And then we've also been at the Pedestrian Infrastructure Conference, a handful more. We are working on every time Cassie says that, she says this name is too long, so I'm about to say it. The 2025 Senior Stay Day and Community Job Fair, which is too long, will be held at PVCC. You may remember in years past, we've hosted a job fair, and we're not going to do that this year. We're going to leverage this, and I'm glad to see so many community partners working together not to recreate the wheel and just really make that day event a really strong one. And then we go to tons of meetings. All right. We have a picture of our Tourism for All cohort working very hard on their action plans. Cassie was really the superstar. Well, you're everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Cassie was really the winner of the Superstar Award for Travel Ability. So this is the last time. I've done it too many times. She's going to quit on me. And then Carlo is at the VA 250th regional roundtable. And we are really, I can say, a leader in the 250th and the way that we're collaborating and the conversations that we're having, but also the immersive experiences that we're recommending. A lot of folks are like, we're going to put up another marker. And you're like, well, marker's great, but like, what does that really mean to the economy, to engagement, to like bringing the 250th to life? And I'm really proud of our commission for having conversations around how we can make it more fun and more engaging to a lot of different people. So I appreciate all of that. That is all of the director's report, because we have passed a master plan and a strategic plan, and now we just need to get to work on some of those things. So we have a big meeting next February. But any questions for me on director's report or any steps before February?
Yes, if you could send information on the event on February the 11th, mm-hmm. What was that Tourism for?
That's our conference.
The conference graduation, class graduation?
Mm-hmm. Yes, so we graduate our cohort first thing in the morning. I'll send you information.
Yeah.
I'll send the whole board information. It was also in an e-newsletter that went out, so if you don't receive the e-newsletter, please let me know. And we'll have a dedicated e-newsletter coming out in
January.
Thank you. But that we take the moment of graduation to celebrate our cohort participants and give them much deserved recognition, and as well as bringing our community together. We don't have a lot of events that ask the entire industry to come together, and it's a great time to network, for us to learn about things that we can do to help in the community, and also educate each other about great things that are going on.
Where's it being held?
Well, it might be at King Family Vineyard. That was the hope. But catering costs may prohibit us from being able to do that. So stay tuned.
So do you need ideas?
I don't need expensive ideas.
Do you need inexpensive ideas?
I need inexpensive ideas.
Okay. And it's a what's the time? Is it morning, afternoon, evening?
It's most of the day. So I think we were gonna set up at 7 for an 8:30 coffee.
So it would be from 9 to 3:30 with the ability to check in, get your name tag and coffee. So starting at 8:30.
So, okay.
And lunch would be provided.
And do you need breakout rooms or anything? Just one room?
Just one room.
Okay. Yeah. And what day is that on, February 11th?
Tuesday.
Okay.
Is there a particular aesthetic that you're looking for?
Is there what?
Particular aesthetic that you're looking for?
We just wanted a nice space that hopefully lends itself well to, you know, acoustics and AV and things like that. So we were going to be in the barn. We may still be in the barn at King Family.
And how many people?
We're hoping for 125. So I'm going to rely on folks in this room to help us get there. Thanks.
Yeah, we had 100 last year.
Okay.
Yeah, and we maxed out Highland space last year. So we were trying to do a different space that was a little bit larger.
Right. And can you send the PowerPoint, or did you already?
This PowerPoint?
This PowerPoint to everybody.
Yes. I
did
think
you
it's
all
already
like a copy of the PowerPoint, or we already did that? We already did it.
We did that except for Phil's slides. Okay. So if you're looking specifically for Phil's slides, we can.
Okay. Anyone
no, they
want?
Were in there.
Pardon?
Oh, they were in there, too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Awesome.
There we go.
They were in there. My bad.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Next, we have public comment. Anybody? Anywhere? No? Okay. Board announcements.
I have one.
No, you have a mustache.
I never gonna listen to that.
That makes you more.
It's okay.
This is a serious update. and opportunity for the board. For those of you who have been in Charlottesville for any length of time, you know that the 4th of July fireworks has been kind of a hit or miss situation over the years. A group of people recognized that again after the pandemic and another series of hit or miss kind of years, and have decided to try and get this going again. And there's been some progress, and I think we had a brief conversation about it at a previous board meeting, that something was being worked on. So I'm on this little committee that is working on this and currently fundraising to bring it to life. And we're making some progress. The Blue Ridge Mountain Rotary Club has agreed to be the fiscal agent and receive the funds and hold the contract and buy the insurance and do all the stuff that actually prevents cities and counties from effectively doing this. So that was a big win. There's at least one fairly large sponsorship from a local bank, and there's a series of smaller ones, including a city commitment and a county commitment. And so what we wanted to do was introduce this to the board. I mentioned it to Courtney. She said, bring it up at the board. I think it's a good idea to maybe help jumpstart this again and do a one-time contribution if, in fact, we can find funds for that. So if the Bureau is interested in contributing, I think that would be welcome. This all started around the notion of the 250th and making sure that we had fireworks in this community that were significant given the founding of the country and the things that happened here to help that. But so far, you know, knock on Formica or something, we're on track to have this in 2025. And the way we've been presenting this to interested sponsors and others is that we're looking for multi-year commitments. So not just a one and done, we're going to start over every year, but the Rotary Club is committed to doing it for, we've been talking in terms of 3 years. So if this group would like to be part of that, to help enliven the community at that time of year, I think that would be welcome, but fundraising is well underway. So that's the update and the opportunity.
Would the board be interested in having Courtney look at that to see how much we could contribute if the board is interested?
I do have a question.
Yes?
I'm new to this. But what is the overall budget for the
Generally, it's about $50,000 to pull the whole thing off. And the order of magnitude that I'm speaking of, city and county have committed $5,000 each. And a couple other smaller sponsors are out there at that amount. And then there's one or two larger ones. We do have a media commitment from CBS 19. They're going to televise it, play music, and do all the promo. So folks that do come along as sponsors will get some variety as it leads up to it. So that's the numbers as they are.
So are you trying to get 150 then to do 3 years?
Yeah, we don't need it all at once. Right. I mean, we need 50 for year one. Right. But we're trying to seed it so that it's not this
struggle every year.
And it seems to be being well received that way. So.
And where would the location be?
We have a donation of the location, and that's the Carter's Mountain area, the Hunter Wood facility site, where it's been done during the pandemic a couple of times. So that's been donated.
I have another question. In the past, I mean, I've grown up in Charlottesville, and I've never really been able to ask this question, but is there, like, other benefits of attending or other residuals that come out of the fireworks show, like, photographs or things like that, where the rest of the community would be able to buy in?
Potentially. I'm not sure specifically what you're speaking of, but...
Like, if somebody was to be able to capture, like, photographs of the actual, like, fireworks themselves, mm-hmm. and be able to release those prints to the community for them to purchase, that could go back into a fund.
I don't see why not.
Or, you know, just maybe other types of things that would go to it, because I know, I mean... this is the first time I've ever thought about it, for sure, with you bringing it up, but the fireworks, I never thought about a budget or anything like that. I just went, you know, or I just went to a space, you know, in Charlottesville where I didn't have to worry about parking at McIntyre or anything like that. But, you know, with the digital age and stuff like that, like being able to capture particular moments is like really big. That might be like a decent avenue that other folks might want to have keepsakes from that feed back into a particular fund.
It's definitely possible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Cool. Is that something that we would be interested in at least asking Courtney to see what we could do, if you're interested, if you're not interested?
I mean, I would be interested. I want to put it all on you.
I mean, I can tell you what I was thinking, and you all can...
Okay.
Tell me what you think.
Go ahead.
I was thinking that we would give a one-time sponsorship of $15,000. We've done something similar to other events. I don't want to have it constantly on our books because I'm not sure how related to tourism it really is. We don't currently have event sponsorships, so to do it annually to me is a little bit problematic, but to give some startup funds so that that's something that they can leverage to make this a good community event for the long haul, and looking into 2026, that was the price point I was thinking. And we do have money in our budget to be able to do that right now if we wanted to.
Has there been any thought about using that to try to bring tourists in July to the area? Because you know, we've talked a little bit in the past, some of us, about Charlottesville as a water destination and playing on that more, because the summers can be tough for local business. But you know, like we're right on that road from Scottsville, and so we've noticed a bump from people coming in to go river rafting. And then you wouldn't think of this as a water destination. And everyone always says, oh, well, of course no one's in Charlottesville in July. They're all at the beach. But we are a water destination in a way. So I don't know. My thought was just, is there a way to put together maybe a blog or something that highlights, you know, a whole weekend, a whole week of activities for people, including the fireworks?
It's one of our biggest blog posts historically is the 4th of July, but it's also one of our slowest visitation times, which is... at odds, right? So I'm not quite sure how to put those things together. I think the water is a really interesting angle, but also depending on how dry the summer is, like I'm pretty sure the Rye Vanna was
low.
This deep.
Yeah. Like
Amber and I walked
we
the gym.
Like it was
in
it was
July.
Like water bumping, rocks bumping the bottom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really low. Like they,
they
absolutely were. I think that, I think that's a good idea if folks are thinking about the water part, but with it going to Carter's Mountain, like what's the reach, like view reach from Carter's Mountain versus like McIntyre Park?
Yeah,
and I was going to say, like that's,
high.
Yeah.
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 Like,
there's
rumor
you can see it from the airport, but I can't confirm that. But
what about Mount Alto?
What about me?
Will you be looking down?
I mean, it's the same essentially.
Pardon?
He just goes down.
It's the same mountain. Never mind.
Wait, is that a joke against me?
No.
I'm not getting it. I mean, Mount Alto is, I mean,
yeah.
I mean,
well,
and the fireworks. Well, yeah, because I'm thinking then you could tie it into Monticello. You know, history,
yeah.
Blah, 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 yeah. Da, da, boom.
Mm-hmm.
And
the cool thing
probably
about this location is that it is visible from so many places. So
oh, okay.
The whole notion of McIntyre Park is the previous location, and the
yeah.
city had to school bus people in
mm-hmm.
from
yeah.
different parking lots, and it
right.
was really tight. So this location, while everybody's not all in one spot,
right.
you could be in multiple spots and parking
that's,
lots.
But that's what I was thinking about.
Kind of like remote viewing.
Yeah.
Mill Creek.
During the pandemic, they did
yeah.
for a couple of years, and people
we
were kind
year.
Of...
Great.
Kind of all over, and
perfect.
It's good.
Yeah. Courtney, I'm curious to hear your perspective on just like things that we do to capture sort of mind share
mm-hmm.
and like remind people that Charlottesville exists. Like that, to me, this feels like a little bit of an indirect play as opposed to actually bringing people here for July 4th. But I don't think that's bad. Like it's still another reason for people to think of Charlottesville, even if they don't actually show up on the 4th. Maybe they show up the week after, or the week before, the month.
Mm-hmm.
to later, but it does seem like this general sort of, we have things to talk about, we have things to promote, we need things to talk about and promote. I don't know that it's a direct tourism thing, obviously, but it does feel like it would help.
Yeah, and Jen's not here for us to bounce ideas off of how Monticello could be involved, because I don't think Monticello has an event in that morning, and we had talked a couple years ago about them doing something in the evening. There wasn't a big appetite for that because they've already worked on Independence Day and they'd like to go home, and I understand that. But I think if we knew that this was happening in a big way, how could we tell the story about why somebody should be here, and that can be a multi-day itinerary, and we can focus things around that if we know it's something that's free. I think doing it in 2025 would be really helpful to have us understand what the quality of the show looks like, and what is the specific draw that we're asking people to come here for. Primary market's DC. DC does fireworks in a really big way. So we need to think about who we're asking to come here for the fireworks and where they are in other communities and what that looks like. But I think it's an opportunity. It's certainly something that, I believe it enough to say, yeah, Chris, you should come talk about it. But we also have had other fireworks in the community and wanted to make sure that we were vetting this through all of our different lenses.
Definitely got fireworks on the street, girl.
Okay. Yeah, that's true.
They got the big time.
So maybe we can discuss this more at our next meeting?
Yeah.
Is that the board's pleasure?
Mm-hmm.
Anyone?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm supportive of
yeah.
it. I mean, it's. I think that the Courtney has made a recommendation of $15,000, a one-time donation. I think we've had a good, robust discussion of it. I'm prepared to support it.
Okay.
How much of like the Virginia 250 could be intertwined following year? Could that be supported? Would that be an opportunity to turn it into more of a destination?
I mean, I think to the comments that were made right here, I mean, this year, not a practice year, but
yeah.
it would build towards what is seemingly going to be a spotlight on Charlottesville next year. And if we know that we can rely on this and people like to you know, it's going to happen again, then I think it can be part of that story.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I would like to do a multi-year thing so that we ensure that it happens in 2026.
So that people get used to it and they see it this year and they know it's coming.
Well, you can get some collateral and take some pictures and then you can promote it in Richmond or Louisa or wherever to try and get maybe some visitation out of it.
As far as the 250, is every municipality and location in Virginia clamoring for funds to do something or is it pocketed?
It really depends on who's running it, how supportive their localities were. Carla, do you know of anybody, sorry to call you into the room, but do you know of another community outside of Williamsburg? And Williamsburg is just doing
right.
Do you know of any other community that's investing a decent amount into the 250th?
Obviously, our peer groups, like, so Arlington, Alexandria, but even a really small organization, a really small destination, so Fincastle, which is in Southwest Virginia, so they have a lot of ties to the Revolutionary period, and so for their destination, they're investing a lot of money in that. But yeah, Tidewater, there's a huge amount of money investing in that.
And they already spend a lot of money on July 4th anyway.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and without knowing really what Monticello is going to do, which we don't know yet, outside of their regular programming, it's hard for us to build around what we do here.
Do you know? No? Okay. All right. Well,
thank you.
Bye-bye. Board, it's up to you all.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anybody
want to? Yes. Okay.
Well,
we need a motion.
Yeah. No, I don't think so. I mean, you can if you want.
I mean right now.
Do we have consensus? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyone against it? There you go.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you all.
You're welcome. John, you had a.
This is my last board meeting, and a couple of years ago, I was just went on the Elmar County website and was looking for some way to serve because I was really upset with the stuff that happened in August 11th. And I felt that did not represent Charlottesville in this area. And I wanted, just as a citizen, to be able to do something and to serve. And so I went onto the website and just put my name in. And found out like 3 months later, the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors appointed me to this board. And I had no idea why. But I submitted some other boards, too. So I joined as a citizen. I am different from the rest of you because I do not have an agenda for a corporation or a government or a political party or whatever. I'm just a citizen. And I was really embarrassed about that at the first couple of meetings. And I realized the only thing I can do is just come to every meeting, which I have.
I have
not missed a single meeting in 2 years. And give my input and give my feedback and ask my questions and not worry about anything other than what my conscience is or what I think is right or wrong. I don't answer to anybody else other than up here and my wife. and I appreciate the fact that, and there's been a lot of change, and I appreciate the fact that every single one of you treated me not as an inferior, and just as an equal. And I really want to say thank you, and I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. And just, I'm sure that the person that's taking, I guess that's Olivia, that's taking over for me will represent and do an excellent job, and will have really good efforts. But I would just like to remind all of you that when you do leave your place of work or your city economic development or wherever, when you go home and you go home at night, you are one of me. And we're all citizens here of a place that we like and love, and hopefully love. And I hope you will remember that and just try to do that accordingly. And I'm proud of the stuff we've accomplished in the 2 years that I've been on the board. So thank you for all of your efforts.
Thank you very much.
Just met you, Miss.
I want to thank you now, too.
Thank you for everything, John.
Thank you.
Thank you
for being here.
I remember John's first meeting. We went around for announcements, and it got to John. He goes, I'm just a guy.
I wore the same sweater on purpose.
Is
that a court hand up?
Yeah.
And I'm like, these are all really important people, and me.
Thank you for representing our residents.
That's right. Very well, by the way.
Yes.
Very well. Thank you very much. Any other announcements? Okay, we stand adjourned until February 24th at 4 o'clock here.
2 o'clock.
2 o'clock, I meant.